interrupting a neo-Uranial, climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricket Tube Busting episode BTWRLM 568. As this thing just keeps rolling out, and they can get real crazy on us, and you've been noticing that. Stopped making sense a long time ago. Not so sure that everybody knows what to do with that or how to do with it when it comes in your face. And I've been trying to give all this information on where you go look to begin with. Prepare yourself before you have to deal with it. Because what's coming on is this the future that they want. It's a digital future. They're pressing hard. I don't care what the people would say in a government that says they represent you. They don't. They represent better maybe the lobbyists and then those behind them. And any other financial interests that we may or may not ever find out about that keeps this thing oiled machine from squeaking too bad. And then there's Hillary Clinton's response. Somehow a shotgun is nearby everywhere. Interesting times. And so we move into this and try to figure out what's coming on and what are we going to start to think about to stay away from it. And this is going to be a little bit tougher issue to consider as we see big tech coalition pushes online age verification and digital ID. Remember, these are the corporations that are, as we heard last week, the ad tech. It's all about the money. Follow the money. Follow what's going on. Show me the money. That's what these folks are after. It has nothing to do with anything we ever thought. A peaceful society, a society that we get along. No, it's about how much these folks can exploit. And they see that these are dogs on meat here relative to these digital ID verifications, the need for people to attach themselves to a phone to then also get on the internet to do about anything eventually here. There's still a little bit of pushback. There's a little bit of isolation. But unless we figure out as a people that we don't want to go that way and immediately start working to make alternatives that don't require the internet, don't require the phones, don't require all these things that are regulated, that come from organic authorities and or time out of mind type of authorities, we're going to be in some real trouble. And the amount of people that will not do this initially will not be enough to stop it, first of all. Secondly, they'll just eventually starve you out, as you're seeing around the world. This is a whole, if you look in the world what's going on, you watch how the method works. It's really kind of interesting. If I didn't ever know it before or know to watch for it, being honest, looking in the world at what other people will do to other people, it's and how to get them to capitulate, it's pretty phenomenal. Anyway, this group here, this group admits that age verification may require, quote, collection of new personal data, such as facial imagery and government-issued ID. The government-issued ID here, all by itself, is quite a study. You have to understand, when you look at that, what is that? What's its subject matter, jurisdiction? And where does its real authority come from? And I will send people down that. You need to study this and find out what's going on with that? Because when you finally come to the conclusion of what it is, you'll start to realize where you don't want to stand. You don't need to get that, but that they're going to attack you. This has been inclusive for a long time. No one escapes, except those that do. And it's going to take a lot more as everyone's been deemed to be an extremist, a misdemeanant, a criminal, felon, and presumably so, and then an administrative side. It's going to take a whole lot more than just being resistant to this to stop it, and I'm talking now on a societal level. Each one of us may have a decision to do, but it's very, very difficult, and they're making it even more difficult to continue to exist. And I don't see many alternatives, and I don't see many people stepping in to do better what needs to be done, what I think needs to be done, or at least thought about. Again, we need to get together, think about it, figure out what we need to do, and then figure out a way to make it done. But here we have, now we're hearing that the big tech group called Digital Trust and Safety Partnership has come out in support of age verification in its response to UN Wide-Ranging Global Digital Compact. DTSP members Google, Apple, Meta, TikTok, Microsoft, plus LinkedIn, Amazon via Twitch, Reddit, Pinterest, Zoom, and Match Group. Bit.ly, Discord has rebranded age verification as Age Assurance in the age of euphemism, and reveal that they are willing to combat harmful online conduct, but that this could, to actually work, likely mean the collection of new personal data such as facial imagery or government ID. So there's more here to read, but again, get the links and read them and start familiarizing yourself with the terrain here. the main problem is the presumption of guilt that's coming along with this. Remember, if you don't have a property or a prior right and a due process, you don't need due process and they don't have to extend it. Third parties are even worse because they don't necessarily have to follow what the government has to. However, the Supreme Court, being as ambiguous as possible, has it sometimes allowed constitutions to be imposed upon corporations and other times not. And so this is what also shows that's job security on the part of the judiciary. That's a usurpation, an occupation against the people, and because they get to make the question forever, and it's an ambiguity that causes the strife in the nation that keeps the tension, is what the occupier also needs. So in particular here, we have age assurance is not applicable where someone is already old enough. So they're saying everyone's a minor until they prove different. That's not the way this is also really supposed to work. Reality doesn't work that way. But that's what they're going to put in. This is showing you this is an administrative obligation, a sharing of responsibility. Already, your sustainable goals are already working if people don't see this. This is not something to come. It's been around us for a long time, and now it's getting the power, it's getting the feet under it to start actually doing something and moving along. As well as the here combating harmful content, it isn't solved by age assurance. So we have, you can look real quickly and see that this term, even this euphemism, is not going to fix the things they purport to go after to fix. And this is just a hallmark of how all this works. It also presumes here that one is presumptively going to post harmful content and without benefit of lawful due process to control those intent on making their speech the only speech or their political view or other bottom line the arbiter of truth here. When you read the article, you start picking these things up for yourself. Again, familiarize yourself with what we're up against. And I didn't see any limitation here about this arbiter of truth or these age assurances or all this anywhere written in the Constitution, the freedom of which government is duty-bound to protect from encroachment instead of viewing the encroaching to show you that's on its head. And the Internet being an open system to the population, it's not private at the pleasure of these corporations. So because the military opened it to be redundant, highly redundant, so for itself and its sake, not much different than they did the highways, which have the primary, I don't know if people know this, the highways are actually primarily military. We get this through the 1956 Eisenhower Act. That's why you see them advance, they get them wider and wider and taller, they're getting the military equipment to go down. No truck needs that much room. So, but anyway, so this is there's a whole other thing moving on right in front of us. The whole society doesn't even notice it. You can see it in the black and white, the law, that they actually run through, however, right, correctly. It is being run through. Certainly the military gets what it wants. Again, it got the Internet. So we just see the presumption that wrong is going to happen. It's not in America. It's not the presumption of innocence. It's always the presumption of guilt. That's not in any lawful society. There's no law for that. But remember again, this ad tech and the government using it to get around obtaining lawful warrants is also what they use it for. Again, this is you being the victim of it all. You being the occupied people. I attempt to try and show this in many, many different ways. I don't seem to get too much follow through or feedback or, you know, spreading the word about this thing, but it is the prime understanding that needs to be had by people before we can begin to go anywhere. So on all these things, my question is, if people self-host their own content, because this has to do with these big hosters and these big companies and digital farms and all this, if people are to self-host their own content, does any of this apply, or in a non-platform, private, mutualized confederacies, would this law apply? Because I've seen some representatives come out and say, certain words are that these are known platforms. These are big platforms that are going to be doing this and want to do this. What if we are self-hosted? And I've advocated this for a long time. How do we get it done? Is just now coming on the, maybe past the horizon, maybe right up near us. And so this may not be so hard. We're just going to have to spend a little bit of time figuring out how we may do our own self-hosting. Then we never become a big platform. And I think that's going to be something we might want to look at doing. I've suggested that reallibertymedia.com, reallibertymedia.xyz, is moving in that direction to allow unstoppable, if you will, uncensorable type content as it gets moved along. It's taking quite a bit of understanding to figure this out and to make it work, and then also to allow it to be implemented. But we'll see. More minds that come to this on trying to figure it out may come quicker. But right now, it's a few people working on it, And so slowly, methodically being worked out. So like I said, when we're asking for the donations on the network, keep your mind open and maybe hopefully your donations open to contributing to moving this like web four forward. And we go into the sewers, if you will, of the matrix, and we survive in there. And we also look very carefully at what these black and white legislations do, and we make sure we don't fit that status. This has been a main theme on my broadcast all the time. Find out the status that's regulated. So I say, go look at government IDs and what they really are. And then you find a status, and you find that that's regulated. Don't do that status, and don't let that attach to you. That status doesn't have a presumption of innocence. And so, there it is. That's how they pull us together. They do it through the contracts. They go through the 42 USC 1981. I talk about it all the time. Go down and read enough that contracts will be enforced. I've said this. If you're not the author of the contract, you have an obligation to the contract. You don't have many rights at all. Only that are listed in there. The author of that contract has all the power, essentially. So I've been advocating for this separation against these privateering profiteers, which are creating this digital panopticon as they watch you right now as they're doing all this. And not many want to hear this and tune this out, but what are you going to do to deny that plunder against you as we watch this thing come on us? Again, maybe you can donate. Maybe the reallibertymedia.com. Here we can bring that separation or something very similar about the mutual confederations into fruition and be able to provide the freedom of choice in media that Grimner was setting up, wanting to do, and avoiding even the censorship, even causes self-censorship. We would even avoid the self-censorship. Because if you look into the future, look into what the legislation attaches, you don't bring yourself into that. You don't let someone bring you into a subject status. You can see a future that has a clear path. Doesn't mean that there's not going to be brigands along the way, highwaymen that want to jump on you, but when you understand what's going on, you have a better, as I say, word in your mouth about how your defense is going to be, and a lot of it's jurisdiction. If your status is not correct and they made a fraud, that's an extortion, of course, and those are felonies. That's on the guy who's trying, the brigand who's trying, on top of the crime that they're trying to bring against you. And so these issues are really on our upfront. Oh, this digital idea, oh, just verification, oh, it's not much, and not, no, this is the attack. This is how they're taking your freedoms away, and essentially we're consenting to them, and we then don't step against that and do anything to stop it. The self-censorship is, and then brought, that we do when we see this is also because it brings on, what they're bringing on is digital tracking and right-think surveillance with it all. And these third parties are given power to control that. So if you will, consider what I'm saying relative to what's trying to be worked on behind the scenes in the Real Liberty Media. Find a donate button, at least do that much if you have nothing more to think about. Spread the word about what I'm saying. Look at something that you don't want to see continue that's no good in what's happening, and work hard to understand the subject matter and impart your energy and skill to that. Find other people. If you don't have enough, find other people to help you. It's getting more difficult. And then as you have donated to Real Liberty Media, or you tend to think that we may move this forward, there's a platform that's a non-platform. And that's the only word I can come up with right now, because they talk about platforms. You got to be not that. That's a start. And don't have the status of that. And make sure that you have provisions to keep underneath that umbrella of regulation. But they do this age verification to so-called protect the children. You know, it's all about the children, correct? But the government already knows where the minors are. They, no, not the ones that dig dirt and gold. No, the minors, the young ones. They already have a database of identified minors, none of which are going to escape this Siberian gulag. Every student now, folks, this next story, no pencils to sharpen at all. How easy, how convenient, how secure in the Siberian panopticon, how and heavy on the con here. In a first, U.S. students will take the SAT entirely online, no pencils required. The SAT, a college admissions exam that for nearly a century was completed using paper and pencil, is now officially all digital. This week, students in the United States will begin taking the SAT on their own devices, including a tablet or a laptop, or on school devices. The test is also 1 hour shorter, down to 3 hours, has shorter reading passages, and uses digital tools like a highlighter or a graphing calculator and a bookmark to go back to skip questions. A shorter test, too, folks. Chain up today is all I can see on this. Stephanie Perez, a high school junior from Houston, says the transition to online is not that significant. Look how close everybody is, folks. Listen to the little ones already that close. It's not that significant. And it's easy, too. Well, it's a shorter test. So convenient. We're also used to being on our laptops like it's something we do on the regular in every class. So incrementally groomed for abuse and the new normal for the future generation, folks, as you hear it right now. Just what I've been warning against. They'll give you the device to keep you chained. And into economic chains they will go. Report. Federal government asks big banks to surveil purchases of VPNs and gift cards transfers to crowdsourcing sites. The new documents pull back the curtain on the federal government's shocking push to mass financial surveillance, reportedly targeted millions of Americans. I don't want to interject here. What I'm talking about out there, I want to remind you, when I'm talking internationally and talking about there, we're talking at home. Listen to these stories. They're right here. Your representatives don't care about you. They're letting this stuff in. There's a few. Again, nothing in absolute. However, the majority are not looking at this and really thinking down the path of what's going on in this nation if they swore an oath to a constitution that looked at freedoms, because these devices get rid of anything we thought that was going to keep us separate and safe and secure, actually. In January, the House Judiciary Committee sounded the alarm about the federal government asking banks to surveil transactions related to certain keywords, such as MAGA and Trump, as part of investigations into January 6, 2021 at the Capitol. But new documents obtained by the House Judiciary Select Subcommittee on the weaponization of federal government has revealed that the surveillance that was initially identified by the House Judiciary Committee in January was much broader than those earlier reports suggested. The House Judiciary Committee's initial letters about the financial surveillance revealed that the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, sent several financial institutional lists of terms that it deemed to be indicators of potential violent extremism and suggested that banks use these search terms to flag suspected transactions. These lists included terms such as MAGA, MAGA, as most people will say, and Trump, and also recommended searches for more generic terms such as related to purchases of transportation and terms related to purchases of books, including religious texts. For those of you thinking of a freedom of religion, then I suggest be careful to assert that as a power that will protect you, because it won't. I don't know how many cases I've seen. I tell everybody, do not lead with your religious freedom rights you think you have today at all, forever, and that included the COVID swindle. You better have a much more powerful argument, and then you throw that in there. And as you saw, there was really not many judges up front that would actually allow that, and no companies would either. Nobody cares anymore in this regard, but onto this, it's universal, essentially, I guess I'll say there. And other media, the FinCEN, deemed to be extremists. Your religious belief texts are extremists now, folks. Now, you don't have freedom to exist. Listen to what you're being told in the notice of the day here. They call it the news. Listen very carefully. You don't live in the America that you thought you did, and there's probably no chance to get there just by gawking at what you see. Something's going to have to come together and work to protect us as those people of the like mind. And it starts out at the 20% that didn't take the COVID swindle, and we found out very quickly the second round of attack got that number down to 10. Now we're down to the revolution numbers, 3 to 10%. So there's not many of us that it's going to start with, but that's going to be a remnant that has to maintain this. And if you, I have my sense, maybe people have different opinions, why you walk away, you don't tune in, you don't stay tuned in, I don't know. Why you don't spread the word, I don't know. But my sense is until we get a better, solid understanding of what we're up against and how to maintain our separateness, not by secession, just our separateness from the statuses that are coming against us, until we understand that, we're not going to be able to understand how to be separate and how to maintain our separateness. And that shouldn't even be a question, but it's become one. You live, again, in an occupied territory. And if you don't take stock of that, you don't think that's real, and you still have the questions about what you see in the world, then I don't know what more to say other than just get behind the woodshed. Understand what I'm saying and then start to find the thing that you don't want to see more of. This, everything becomes an extremist. They're just using a few words here in this article, but in one important document, FinCEN brands lawful activities such as frequent ATM withdrawals and wire transfers with no apparent economic or business purpose, and purchases that appear excessive or unusual for hobbyists or other legitimate use as potential indicators of violent extremism. Again, they make up this stuff. It's a presumption of crime as we walked into this, and no one noticed that was an underlying theme about the PATRITF, what they did with the war of terror against its own people, the United States. In another document, FinCEN brands purchases of privacy-preserving tools, such as virtual private networks, VPNs, counter-surveillance equipment, or secure communications equipment, as potential red flags for active shooter detection. That used to be, when you asserted all that, and this is partly why I do, I have at least one argument, whether it's recognized anymore or not, is that I wanted my stuff private. When I use it, you may not like it, but I want it to be private. Now where's your warrant? No, FISA through PATRIT Act will tell us that national security trumps all that. And then we got a president named Trump, and we wonder what the problem is. But anyway, back to here. In another document, FinCEN describes purchases of gift cards, transfers to GiveSendGo or other crowdsourcing sites, and the use of debit cards for crypto between November 3rd of 2020 and January 12, 2021 as subjects of interest for January 6th investigations. In addition to revealing the vast scope of FinCEN's financial surveillance dragnet, this report also revealed that FinCEN sent financial institution links to the Anti-Defamation Defamation League's list of hate symbols and the link to this Institute for Strategic Dialogues report on funding of American hate groups. The DL's, we call it ADL here, but it's the DL, Defamation League's hate symbols list, has been criticized for including fake hate symbols, and the report notes that the Antifa images and the OK hands gesture are some of the contentious examples of what the ADL seems to be hate symbols. I deem the ADL the DL. It's a hate organization that's gotten sway. It's another genocide group in this country. But this report also reveals that since January 6th, FinCEN and the Federal Bureau of Investigation have held multiple discussions with many of the Americans' biggest banks as part of an attempt to get them to voluntarily share customer data with federal law enforcement agencies outside of normal legal processes. According to the report, some of the banks and the financial institutions that these discussions were held with included Barclays, U.S. Bank, Charles Schwab, HSBC, Bank of America, stop me when you haven't heard any of these, PayPal, all the ones that got benefits of the TARP funds and destroyed this place in 2008. Well, PayPal maybe not, but here we go. Okay, KeyBank, the Standard Charter, Western Union, anybody been using these services yet? Wells Fargo, Citibank, Santander, J.P. Morgan Chase, and MUFG. The report claimed that the financial surveillance that the subcommittee uncovered was aimed at millions of Americans. In a hearing examining the big government, big bank, financial service surveillance collusion, subcommittee chairman Representative Jim Jordan branded the surveillance as Orwellian and scary. Scary indeed, folks. Scary indeed. It shows you live in an open-air prison, and the guards are getting bored and making stuff up to entertain themselves at your expense as they expand this prison and for job security. Again, I told you, this is about elections, too, and voting. 20 to 30% of the government, of the people are government employed. A little bit more are government benefited directly, and we'll keep that status quo for that job security. This is a known fact, and this, I've explained part of this before. It's part of the election strategy. If you choose to go down that path, particularly locally, you have to know what you're up against and how it's not just this collusion, this deception behind the machines and all that. You have to have a body of people that'll come forward and swing your way. And either party, on the innocent side, neither party will get the 100% of their base out to actually change this place, which they could, either one. The conservatives, you think you're part of a Republican Party, you go don't get out 100%, you're letting the Democrats take this thing because the numbers are there to stop all this nonsense. With the Libertarian Party or the third party parties, everybody's able to turn this around and you see that it never gets done. And you just watch the numbers and you talk to the bases and you see that it doesn't. part of, I don't do too much of that. I have friends that do. I talk with them. I get my information from them. I then qualify that it was what is correct by the information in the public. They give me good information. I then believe it's true. And then I tell you like this. And so there's a whole dynamic that goes on. And the bottom line is that there's lots of complaining and nobody organizes themselves together, even in political parties, to do what they need to do. Siberian Gulag isn't just in America. Russia isn't a bastion of freedom either. This is a global governmental paranoia as Russia rolls out VPN-wide ban now. I was going to do a story a long time ago. I never got to it. They were talking about bringing it in. I was going to mention it. Here it comes. Well, never got to it, but here it is. I can just wait. It'll come right back. And they are bringing, curbing free speech, curbing privacy. Russian government is employing an increasingly strict approach to manage the reign in the digital freedom its citizens have enjoyed in recent years by introducing a ban on virtual private networks. If you see what's going on in the United States, is different. You think these are two different countries? Not really. Not actually. Not on the international set looking at global governance, globalism. Okay? Not at that level. I keep telling you, I think in a bunch of different layers here on what's going on. If you can keep up with it. There's so many layers. I'm wondering about the ones I'm missing, but right now, the ones I'm looking at so far keep me abreast pretty well, and there's not many surprises quite yet. But this embargo, poised to be enforced this month, targets not just VPN ads, but also websites offering advice on how to navigate around the country's censorship barriers. It appears that the Russian government's hardened stance on VPN services transcends the basic desire to just restrain freedom of speech. Since VPNs allow internet users to maintain their privacy, Russia's actions will hinder access to online privacy in the country. I want to, I guess, get on the record here and probably be banned by Russia for this, but it was back a while, and you're going to see a link here. It's in Russian. I didn't have time to get the original. There may be some links that are in English, but back in 2021, there was talk about using Snowflake with the Tor browser. But be very careful with this. You want to be very careful to use these things, that this hasn't been circumvented by Russia as well. But there's these things called bridges in the Tor browser. And that's what helps to get through some of these blocks, even some of the tethering problems and the data problems. Some of them, not always. So you got to be very careful when you work them. But the Tor browser, is it an anonymity browser? There's some questions about that too. But if you're not really a criminal, who cares? In some regard, do your best to be protected. Be anonymous as much as you can. But the Tor browser really blocks them out. And you might want to look into that here. The Russian government is trying to block the Tor network as well. But users can circumvent this block by using a Tor bridge or a Tor Snowflake. Now, Snowflake doesn't seem to work so well for me, but it might for you. And I'm just offering the government doesn't want to hear the workarounds. They may or may not have seen this one. But remember, kids, Russia is your friend. And we'll hear about that in a minute if you don't think so. They'll tell you how much their friend you are. But I found this net opinion interesting also. But felt it necessary to use it to point out some things deemed to be a bit off-tune and off the beat relative to why anonymity becomes not used, why digital currencies, why the scrutiny, why age assurance. All these things are have to be done, the tracking and tracing, because the technocrat needs it in the future for the future generations. This is an interesting opinion that was written. I just want to move it through just to point out some things we can read here. A fallacy is encouraged by the well-known and formally informative James Corbett, plus a group of British alternative news providers who seem to be firmly convinced that the world leaders such as Putin and Xi Jinping are secretly participating in Agenda 2030 power grab. And I understand this came from a Telegram. I don't have the application. I could not see the video. I'm just going off what this observation is from a gentleman named Mark Stone. He continues to write here. They proved this on a basis of videos in which Putin and Xi Jinping shook hands with Schwab dating from the beginning of the COVID pandemic when virtually no one realized what was really going on. Listen to that little hook right there for us behind the woodshed. Virtually no one realized. I guess we sit inside the virtually there, folks. But here we go. And this is his opinion to Corbett and these guys. If Corbett had been a reporter instead of a historian, he would have seen that Putin and his associates are now saying and doing what they're saying and doing cannot in any way be reconciled with the plans of people like Schwab and Gates. So, Corbett and the Brits aside, it appears someone here hasn't thought deep enough when dismissing the globalism Putin and Xi are moving toward because of this myopic focus everyone's taking by some here on Agenda 2030, specifically naming that. Not having Telegram, I could not listen to that attached file. So what I'm going to say here, if it's covered, our views may be more consistent than it appears from the post. I apologize for any misinterpretation on that point. But on the surface of this post, I'm responding to the dismissal of a large subject matter proven by more than on the basis of those of the videos that he responds to here, in which Putin and Xi Jinping shook hands at Schwab dating from the beginning of COVID, this pandemic, which I believe is a dangerous dismissal based on that. I suppose it would have been better given a consistent awareness to say here Corbett or the Brits didn't go far enough of what is now so much more obvious in other places that Putin and Xi have openly, verbally, officially been promoting sustainable development, of which Agenda 2030 is a part. In doing so, they advance, not these folks, but the Agenda 2030 advances the feckless United Nations under cover of being the proper forum for the application of international law, so-called, for peaceful revolutions, which is all very quaint, but it's misguided. And again, this is what Russia and Xi Jinping have been promoting, and I reported on all this. It's not even new. I'm a little bit concerned about people who are giving information being attacked, and then myopically so here, just focusing on Agenda 2030, which is, again, merely a goal set out in transforming the world to accept and implement non-governmental global sustainability goals, which is the bigger umbrella. So there is no purpose to criticize someone here for sensationalizing that there is some secrecy going on or any proof or lack of proof. And Colbert and others could have provided much better proof for the fact had, I guess, they intended to, but I suppose they know better. If not, they need to expand their awareness here. All of these folks do, because I think it's very... This dismissal like this is very dangerous to us. It makes it sound like it's not, this outcome here makes it sound like it's not going on between Putin and Xi Jinping. And they're on open record. I've reported it. I've read it to us, the news. I've read it to us. But here, likewise, nothing can be reconciled through Schwab or Gates as expected by Mark Stoneweapon either. They're just puppets, so they're not really anything. They're just action figures. And these are just merely actors on the kabuki stage as they get rolled out before us for our entertainment. But critically, the actors in the kabuki stage, the kabuki theater, don't own the theater. And Schwab and Gates have nothing to do with the fact that the seeds have been planted and have been growing long before the great COVID swindle, which, contrary to the fallacy that was quoted here, that virtually no one realized what was going on, I've been explaining this for the decade and a half I've been broadcasting. And remember, I've read and read documents and explained how it was done and how far back the source of the great COVID swindle, what they call the Great Reset, the sustainability goals, wasn't in any of that. It was before it. How the people that started to bring it and when they brought it out to become what it is today is decades and decades ago. So remember here also, we at Jefferson Mining District sued to stop this destructive sustainable usurpation in 2013. I've talked about this. And we got a default by the state, its governor, the representatives, the senators, and the Bar Association. Yes, the Bar Association, we sued them. Nobody responded. They defaulted out. And that includes the change agent cohort in the process of all this, the method of it, the university system, which includes the law universities as well. Again, the Bar Association is critical in promoting this. It's in their records that they do so. This is complete usurpation of a Republican-formed government. This is a sustainable overthrow that's already been occurring within our American borders, as Russia is now modernizing, moving to the next phase, already digitally implementing the debt tracking infrastructure supporting the meeting, a goal mentioned in Agenda 2030, which I've read to y'all years ago, and it's not a secret or an endpoint either, but on the other hand, it shouldn't be expected to be, as they're moving this thing, moving further, and they tighten the noose as they go. Incrementalism, remember. And I've been demarcating for those that will listen, those things normally considered in geopolitical realm and apart from the ongoing stealthy, though open incremental transformation to the more perfectist union of economic slavery, or as you might hear me differentiate when speaking about Russia and Ukraine. Notice Ukraine has empowered Russia to be the leader for the so-called multipolar world order towards sustainability, apart from geopolitics, while destroying Europe, in particular Germany, and reducing their economic power to the benefit of the United States. Listen to the gameplay going on here. It's fascinating to watch, but it's kind of serious, the ramifications. You're watching people wanting to go to war because they're becoming frustrated with a nation that really didn't cause any of it. But they don't want to face the beast that caused it all, the United States, relative to Europe here either. And they want to protect this other global thing, which has to do with the finances, the money, the debts, the obligated debts, and prosperity, which is actually shared responsibilities. That's the sustainable goals that they want to put through. But while everything else is going on, they want that to go through. And as I just told you, it's they're priming, they're grooming the kids. Now digital goes to their SATs to get them into college, which is maybe not a good path to begin with, even though I'm someone who enjoyed school. I think education is important. Maybe not inculcation. Maybe that's the difference that I see. But you get to organize people that have seen experience and can educate people on that experience and prepare them on what they're going to see going in the future, not the fairy tales they told all of us. I think it's powerful. But here, this whole thing is bringing everyone into parity, the most powerful and then the lowest. They're trying to bring them together. I've been talking about this here in the last, 6 months, pretty clearly, as we're watching all this noise in the news as well, not just the notice, but it's a noise. The parity of the so-called developing nations are being brought up all in this same action as you watch. So explaining the geopolitics, the right Russia has internationally to do what it does, I'll turn right around here and point how Putin is implementing sustainable development infrastructure for domestic deployment against their own population, against the Russian people. See, I'm not, again, there's no favoritism. I'm just trying to do an objective witness of what's going on and explaining it. And hope people start picking this up, even if it has to be by osmosis. If you don't have the time to read some of this, I hope to direct you quickly to the past. Start seeing it for yourself. Find the truth. Adjust anything I may have an error, because I'm not omniscient, that may have changed. I told you the thing, like Kobe Swindle, they're going to change those rules. You're going to have to understand how they change the rules so that you know how to get back to what they changed and show the fraud there. So this is how they do this. They get us on other things or not at all. We just turn and shrug our shoulder and look away. They go through the get around, I guess it is, the so-called law. There's no law involved here. It's all policy. All of this then is in an ongoing plan through the SMART implementation, the SMART, S-M-A-R-T method for transforming to sustainable development is being done across the world in almost all nations at this point. This usurping sustainable obligations and duties will be beyond geopolitics. I've been trying to show you that as we talk, and I explain the stuff I see in the news. Just what comes to me as I'm reading these words. And remember, it's all about unity, even religious unity. I've been talking about that for, 2010. We've been talking about that. And parity and all these things that bring everything together. They've got to get rid of the extremes on this global thing to make it all work. Then we hear also that the compliance is going to be through third-party obligations of duty, through digital, technocratically transformed Soviet style economic governance, and though that doesn't fully explain it either, just to give us some kind of a bearing, the Russians can say we're no longer communist, and we aren't necessarily Soviet. We're a federalization of some sort, a republic of some sort, but they're implementing democracy, and they're implementing it through the digital world, which is the future that they want. So it's pretty clearly coming together, but also remember, the military is and was in 2019 predictably on board attacking at warp speed in the great Kobe swing, which those of the world deceived at the time universally accepted. I'm going to give a little bit to the ability of these powerful deceivers to do this to people. However, the obligations in black and white was there. There was no excuse. I talked about this. I exposed it. I warned against it. I helped prepare you to see and stand aside, let it go by, and see what happened. Well, we watched, and boy, they got, to my dismay, they got pretty much what they wanted, And now you see it happening. Open up this story that students know now are digital. Oh, and it's so simple and so convenient. Oh, and it's like nothing new to us, how inculcated they are. So I'm hoping based on this, talking a little bit long on this this Telegram post by Mark Stoneweapon, but I hope he would do more than just criticize on such a minor point as someone erroneously trying to prove the existence of the world through a short-term goal agenda when the baby is in the bathwater unseen by so much more murkiness than perceived by most on all this, or by different mechanisms, sadly already in place and functioning through mostly unseen by most people as I talk. And again, I'm always looking for those that understand this. There have been very few people that started to see it. The thing that I noticed was that we can see it, but then we have to try and stop it. That was our lawsuit in 2013. At least to make the record, there it was. And they defaulted out. Anybody knows a court case? When someone defaults your lawsuit, they have conceded. And so based on the corruption that's also there, we couldn't expect a whole lot much more than to make that record and demand what we did. In fact, we did beyond that. We've confirmed that that default worked by going to appeal to that when they tried to deny it. And the appellate court said there was nothing before the appellate court. Then we went to the Federal Circuit Court back in D.C. where all this is about. And so they have jurisdiction over the whole country. And they looked at our paperwork and said, well, there's nothing for me to review on to appeal from. In other words, the default was law. There was nothing, no error to review. And so we went that far even in attempting to get our best record, as I have asked you over and over, my listener, to consider. It's difficult. I don't like it to say it. In fact, it's getting to the point where it's almost going to be impossible with the reflexive response of judges anymore. I've seen in the last 6 months, they don't even want to recognize law that's written. You can present it right to them, but they don't even understand. It's like they don't even understand it. I don't know where these folks came from, but here we are. We're living what I've been saying was coming, not as a fear, as a fact. See, it's not fearful because I'm not paralyzed by it. I know it's there, and I know we need to work around it. But relative to my criticism a bit of Mark Stoneweapon, relative to his criticism of Corbett on what I consider these folks myopically looking at Agenda 2030, the bigger proof going on. It's coming right out of the mouths of people. And I'll take their word for it. They're running they're leaders of the countries. And they are way beyond Agenda 22 to implement this. And so critiques aside, kind of a little bit off tune there, on that relevant but sour note, we'll move on. Not even a week later that the Russian economic sustainability guru that I read to you, Sergei Glazyev, the Minister of Integration and Macroeconomics of the Eurasian Economic Commission and the policy arm of the Eurasian Economic Union, who has been advocating for an international digital currency, saying in that interview reported last week behind the woodshed, it has been given a green light. Days later, it's so, folks. That was fast, right? They can barely stay ahead of these things. They come and they're moving so fast that Putin signs a law allowing use of digital financial assets in international payments. Now remember, you got domestic and international payments. So they're moving to the international first, as I told you that they're saying that they were. I don't have a crystal ball. I got to just look at what they're doing, look at what's in the record, and find out how it works out, and then apply it and correlate it, and then qualify it. And then if it looks like it's worked, I'll go with that for a while until they show different. But Russian President Vladimir Putin signed a law that authorizes the uses of digital financial assets and the digital utility rights. A new element here, very interesting. As well as digital rights that include both of these instruments simultaneously in international payments, according to the relevant documents published on the official legal information. So here we have digital financial assets and digital utility rights and the right to use both. Now look at these rights that are sitting right in this thing that nobody understands really, that the central banks are attempting to get on their side that you won't have for you at all. So these digital financial assets and digital rights are sitting there. You thought this was just about trade balancing currencies, this little report here is days after I explained it. They've given, the guy says it's growing, give a green light and we're going to digital. Russia does it. And now they're explaining more fully what's into this. Again, if you don't understand these things, you don't understand how badly we're being taken out, how completely we're being taken out. But they'll instruct us if we look and go ahead and listen to the Russians. I told you it's okay. These finance ministers aren't doing too bad. Their principles are not so bad. There may be propaganda, but we need to train ourselves to see through it. But the initial edition on the bill touched upon modernization. See, it's always right there. This transformation legislation is all modernizing. And they modernized the Smith-Mundt Act, which allowed them to lie to you, right? The government in the United States. So this is modernization. This is how they get the future they want. Modernization of financial platforms. Well, during the second parliamentary reading, the document was amended with an opportunity to cross border payments with the use of digital financial tools. Not just currency, but tools. Look at how this is expanding now in the digital realm, in the Siberian gulag, and Opticon. So there's your admission. The politics is needing to catch up in the amendment that we read Sergey talk about last week, that they had left out of the initial international purpose, as if there was an afterthought in favor of the intended domestic use, which is coming against their own people. And this is every people that adopt this. The Bank of Russia, together with the body authorized by the government, will set the conditions for separate operations of currencies with digital rights, as well as will be able to ban such operations. This is nothing that I haven't said before about what was coming down. The government does not like competition, and that's proven in what Russia's already doing. They're coming, again, it wasn't just a year ago. We don't know about digital. Well, 2 years ago. We don't know. No, we're not going to do that. We don't think that's going to work. And I told you, watch out. That's a lie. Here it is. Russia's already moving. Quick, right? As they move this and promote it, they're moving sustainably. Their people don't understand this, I don't think. I don't see any of the geopolitical gurus out there that know all about geopolitics, none of them are talking about this stuff. And you're watching it right here in these operations going on. But I think we can see that this is all fairly interpreted to mean banning such operations as private digital assets and exchanges like Bitcoin if needed. And the power to separate operations of currency would be regulating digital currencies, public or private. And so don't miss out here on the most critical point when you read this article, regulating the digital rights. You know, we got this little copyright rights, right? This is digital rights. Very interesting concept. I hadn't thought about it this way. But underlying, again, this goes to the point of underlying the software and underlying the creation of the digital coin, the token citizenship, is the ability to control that and the right to use it. You don't have that. They do. So the question becomes immediately, do you possess the digital rights to a government-created digital currency? See how easy that is, Vince? See how easily, Vince, that is to do? You have no property or rights in that property. And therefore, no expectation of lawful due process more than you are gave through the Siberian gulag. This is the administrative application. Did you hear Schwab or Gates mentioned in there? No. They're irrelevant, as I said before, on all this. These are going down paths we don't need to go down. But how now, brown cow? The Bovinial population has no property or rights but the obligation and seems to like it, folks, just as Schwab said. It's fascinating to watch how this works out. Just as also you've been told behind the woodshed before Schwab came, before all this, and even nationally. So don't miss that globalism promoting technocratically Sovietized detail. Soviet is here, even though Russia seems to be moved on. It's a thought. You know, Nikki Rapana, her name keeps coming to mind, the late Nikki Rapana. She was one of the few people that would always mention the Soviet. She'd pronounce it just like that. Not to say Soviet. Not to be Russian Soviet, you know, republic. No, this is Soviet. This is a style of governance. All right? So understand that there's a little bit of a shift here. And I don't think to hear the great Kobe Swindle warp speed attack moved this fast, folks, but it sure softens up that target that they were intending to bring on what? That cash is dirty, that we need to track you, that we need to digitally identify you. Oh, now we need an age assurance. We got to protect the little ones. And they already know where the little ones are. They already know where their devices are. Right? They named all the devices. They know where they're at. But no, they got to come after you because you're presumed to be guilty. Because when you look at the stories, they're not talking about protecting the little ones, actually. But they presume you are going to be posting criminal content. So despite this overnight success that digital currencies are promoted to be, in spite of also that the government assurances digital currencies were unacceptable and didn't exist just 2 years ago, they're on the table. They're moving really fast. They've been working this thing out the whole time. And presaging the green-lighted law just before that, just days before that, we saw this little report. If you looked and saw, you saw this. I saw it. I'm going to talk to you about it if you didn't. Russia, Venezuela discussing use of digital payments in trade. Now, why would Russia be doing that if they did, oh, we're not going to do digital, or we have a problem with it, or whatever? No, it's already ready to go, and the governments know it. The Russia and Venezuela are discussing the use of digital payment tools. This was written days before the law, folks. Understand, days before Sergei told us that they're going to need to do that. They're having to do that on the international stage. Digital payment tools, not digital coins, digital payment tools in trade to secure transactions against the meddling of Europe and the United States, Russian Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Trade Denis Manturov said on Monday. Quote, Russian payment system, the MIR, M-I-R, is one of the alternatives enabling both our and the Venezuelan people to make daily payments with the use of these cards. In addition to the population payments, should be made possible between businesses, commercial, and entities. Notice, Russia went with the MIR card, not their international tools. That's for the people, and that should be extended to businesses. Well, corporations are people, too. So you're watching the parity being brought together already between two nations. Before the law was in place, this was impressive to me. It all was happening before. This was already going to be in the works. He recalled that at the recent BRICS summit, Russia's finance minister was discussing with his counterparts the prospects of using digital payment tools in trade to decrease the dependence of their economies on the U.S. dollar and euro. Got it? So, again, this was in that summit months ago. They had already known they were going to bring this on. So I'm mentioning that targeting the youngsters to educate them to the future that they have for them is imminent. This little seemingly unattached bit of notice, but why bring up World Youth Festival here in this next story when talking about international payment system? We hear in this article, the Manturov told the Knowledge, first education forum on the sidelines of the Russian-hosted World Youth Festival. When asked about the ways in which the Russia is cooperating with Venezuela, the youth festival was taking place in Russia's Sirius, but it is serious nonetheless, federal territory on the Black Sea coast from March 1st to 2nd. Sputnik is an official international media partner of the event. There's your Smith Month Act working in Russia. Sputnik is a government-held source of information and media that I use all the time. I like to look through what they're telling. I want to see someone who's been tasked with moving the future they want. I want to keep track of that. So partly why I go there, partly to see the propaganda, partly to see a new story beyond the West that's clouding us so bad, to confining our minds so bad. But this is the Soviet knows it has to win the hearts and minds of the impressionable youth. Why would that youth festival be in this Venezuelan-Russia payment system article? But this is a propaganda setup. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying they're telling you who they're after. I'm saying they're after your little ones. The schools in the United States, they're already been groomed to take this on. It's fascinating to watch what they've been doing to us. And it's going to be very difficult to escape. How simple and easy. How else do you live in the world, right? Now they're caught. So they know to go after these people in Russia. The Soviet knows to go after the impressionable young to accept without question, which Putin explains at the close of the small world indoctrination that they have, the festival, those of and living in the sustainable indoctrination will not know the difference. And if you still hold any doubt that the inevitable future that they want, especially Soviet and Russia, at least Putin is sustainably driving there. And remember, these kids, Russia is your friend, folks, you'll hear. Putin comes and tell everybody, embrace all the kids, and why not? I mean, this is the future they want. Oh, the kids, it's all for the children, right? Understand the underlying deception of what's going on. And I told you that they are after your kids, your little goats, you know, little kids. The neo-social communists are now to go after the young, as we read this next article, the pushes on here from far off land to a town near you, the globalista to localista, folks, as you I remember, think about William Roberts, again, telling us that stuff, too. This is all what he was saying, too. I mean, he went to the encyclopedias to show it. Those weren't news, but the encyclopedias had the connections to these underlying organizations you'll never hear about that are working, have been working. When I heard him, I said, yeah, he's got it. And him and I became fast friends. He had done his research. I was talking about how that all that research was going, and it was in the world working at the time. And so we were able to work really well together. He would make his educational studies for people, and I would, that weekend, I'd show how it was all coming together. What he said was in the encyclopedias for us to know was actually functioning in the world. And it's there to see if you just know about it. So it was a great loss. William Robert was a death. It was a great loss. But here we are today, and I'll just remember him that way. But here, this next notice is quite the New World Order workshop, grooming the youth, so-called, as we hear. Russia is your friend. Putin unites young people from across the world. Russian President Vladimir Putin took the stage to address delegates at the World Youth Festival held in Sirius Federal Territory, S-I-R-I-U-S, but it is Sirius, Federal Territory in Russia's Krasnodar region. Quote, "We wanted to create conditions of freedom, creativity, friendship," Putin said. Quote, "We are all born equal, but the question is, are we growing? Are we developing in equal conditions? The answer is, unfortunately, no. There is no equal world for us. And in this, the main injustice of today's world order, today's world," Putin said during the closing ceremony of the Youth Festival. Putin intends here to bring everyone globally, at least the needy global south, into equality. Equal to what, one might ask? Here's talking about the grooming of the little was for the future abuse, preying upon their perceived lackings in this. This is one of the techniques that they use for anybody. It doesn't have to be young, but we all are childlike in some regard. But the West is already going there on its own destructive track without much resistance from we the people either. So I see parallel paths here going by. Each nation is supposed to be at odds with each other. They might be in certain places, but not in this. But here, think very carefully. We've heard this before, but you think about it. We're not really born equal. We get on over to the equal rights, and then we're born. But look what the imposition is. But what did Alexander Solzhenitsyn say? Something, humans are born with different capacities. If they are free, they are not equal. And if they are equal, they are not free. And I'm using this in context of Russia, and they have heard this. The humanist aside here, the human beings, he says, humanist aside, in the modernized, sustainable Soviet, everyone is equal, aren't they? Yes, they are. It's called shared responsibility under the label of prosperity. Read Agenda 2030, right? It's that the thing that was being sidelined by Mark Stone Weapon was being highlighted by Colbert is just a part of all this, but it says it right in there. Putin is here to advance this, and I've read it completely for you behind a woodshed, so that shouldn't even be a question behind all that. I want us to get out of bickering or fighting amongst each other and move this into a more comprehensive discussion on the things that are happening today. Like 2030 is almost over if we look at it that quick in that way, but that was just a piece, and there's a whole lot more been going on. The digital currency, the digital instruments, the digital tools are the implementation of a 2030 as well, another proof, which people seem to be missing a bit. We can talk about how, Orwellian is, but they're doing it. And we've got to figure out, not just talk about it and know about it, it's not going to stop it. So here with this, here on this Agenda 2030 imposition of globalism, if you are a good little indebted token citizen, you are as equally rich in your obligation to Gaia as all the others, Satan, they, of course, they're not. They're the ones that are going to judge you for your behaviors. And if you choose to not be so indebted, you'll be hunted down or until you pay with your fair share, as they'll call it. Or you heard that before. So in being equal, none are free from the obligation that's imposed. Okay, so this start rethinking how they work these words and how they work the method. And it sounds really good until you realize what they're actually doing. And this is the future Putin is welcoming these unsuspecting, impressionable little ones with. He says, also noted that the quest for a just world order would make the world more transparent, democratic, sustainable, balanced, and secure. And if those of you listening to me have ever listened to me about sustainability goals and you see transparent, democratic, sustainable, balanced, you know exactly what he just said, and secure. All governments want to make sure you are secured. You're trapped by your chains to them or their third-party privateers. And we see how failed democratic is when we look carefully. We see as well that transparent means to see through the organized usurper against you. You don't even see them hitting you, which is why I'm talking. I mean, maybe people don't believe me because they just can't see it. It's a ghost to them. And that's the danger. That's what it is. They want things transparent that they do so that you don't see what they do against you. We find all things sustainable are obligations to the they when we look. And we already know that the balance is the ledgers in the measure of your carbon footprint, which brings up a question, if it is one, where the next word, secure, secure from whom? If we start to analyze these words, we realize he's only speaking sustainability goals and getting the little ones to agree that this is kumbaya friendship and you have a soft, warm place here with us. So we know the answer already here, not secure for my listener and almost none of these little ones. It's secure for the they. And aren't we hearing that beginning in the West here where France just outlawed criticizing the officials and experts? So much for here. So the Statue of Liberty is a gift from France. And I suppose it's time to topple that cultural defect too, don't you think? Maybe we'll rename it. We'll just leave it standing. The androgynous Gaia, Statue of Equality. That's what we should do here now, as this is the new modernized world. And that would explain the statue's manly arms too, don't you think? I know, don't give them any ideas. Anyway, also securing whom? The backside of that word behind the woodshed, the they, the unquestionable, securing the token citizen, of course, as I've been explaining. And we can read in the article, if we are equal, there is no place in the world for any kind of exclusivity, no place in the world for any arrogance, segregation, or similar things that are based on this distorted ground of anyone's exclusivity, he emphasized. Meaning inclusion, right, folks? No child left behind, no token citizen escapes the sustainable gulag. No one can be arrogant enough to believe they have a separate thought, belief, perception, idea, whatever, or that they know better than the they. He goes on to say here, you have to come to Russia. You have come to Russia. You have many friends here. I want you to know that all of Russia is now your friend. We are always open to you, to all your noble undertakings, the president noted. But you hear that condition. You're our friend. Only with your noble undertakings. So who decides what is noble? Is an exclusive world without separateness or the arrogance to freely think and act contrary to the sustainable behaviors that they and Putin is demanding. We can also read here that Putin also expressed his confidence that the young people from other countries would achieve many successes on their path. But their path is only the sustainable path that they make for them. So let's read between these lines and we can see what's going on here. If we succeed, he says, we will do something similar in the future. For us, this is not the first such experiment, this festival. Grooming kids is not the first such experiment, and I do hope that it will not be our last. Of course not. They got future generations to groom into the sustainable token citizen. The Russia-hosted gala is coming to a close. So let us fix up this word salad. The Russian-hosted Gaia is coming to the close, and this is the close of this experiment following the SMART method. Now comes the A for assessment. You got sustainability, then you have the assessment after the M for monitoring of how far down the S for sustainability path of perdition they brought the young ones and how they will respond towards the T of transformation to the future that they want for these impressionable youth in quotes, whether Hitler or not, same difference, that they here always know how to make the stinking abyss warm and fuzzy and cozy and friendly and comfortable and embracing to the innocent or unaware here. My observation here is be childlike, folks, but don't be a child. This was a very interesting story to me. I don't know about the rest of you. I hope I brought some elucidation to some of this. I may sound, again, protective of property rights in Russia and their right against their agreements and be, no, every nation has to have that, and they don't, you know, what's going on is abomination underneath Bidenomics, I guess, and Biden, with the U.S. causing a lot of this, the EU falling, the Europe falling. These are all dastardly deeds, so I don't like all that. That's an evil. But to watch this guy at the same token, Putin, as I've been telling you, expose the soft underbelly of what sustainability, moving, transforming, happening right in front of all of us, and no one noticing, is actually astonishing to me. And I do want to continue to say it, even though there's maybe not very many people that understand it or want to listen to it. And then if there's more, great. This understanding has to be inside us so that we can just, again, I'm taking so much more time to explain it. When I'm reading this stuff, I have the understanding. I don't have to think about it more. And so if you're local and you hear that, it's not like you have to do an analysis. You don't have to know a ton. You just know who you know them when you see them, folks. It's really, really fast. Then you have to assess. You have to do the same, maybe smart method. You have to start assessing what you're going to be doing. And I've suggested one of the main powers is that they avoid the law like the plague. That's where you have to go. In particular, land disposals. That was an easy place to go. And you see all the saving clauses. Unless otherwise provided by law, they can bring this stuff in. And you have to stand there with those four or five word clauses and say, there's a law here that stops you. And you have to bring it. But here we have the future that they want today. Again, Putin casts online vote in presidential elections. He sure takes a long time, though, when you look at this video, around the room to get to sit at his desk from the door. Maybe home office security has its inconvenience as well. I didn't quite get this one. But anyway, Kremlin spokesman said that the current president favored the e-ballot due to its ease and accessibility. And I don't think ease is the E in the ballot. But anyway, incumbent Russian President Vladimir Putin exercised his voting rights in the presidential elections on Friday. Russia is having their elections now. They're making quite a big deal about it. They're under a ton of scrutiny, which I don't know. Seems to be lopsided about the scrutiny that they get even so. But here we have the Russian leader opted now for the convenience of the online voting option, making his choice from the comfort of his office located in Nova Ogaryova residence near Moscow. Wow, it's in his house too. Dmitry Peskov, the spokesman for the presidency, told Russian media outlets that the president had chosen to vote in this manner because, quote, it's simply convenient. It's just so convenient, folks. It's easy, accessible. What is that part, though? No, they said it's easy, but is it? Not so much. One has to have the computer. You have to be hooked up. You have to be hooked up to the internet. You have to live there when you're doing it. In real time, they know where you're at. And then what was on the record to digitally identify the voter, Putin himself? How was that info obtained? When? And the process to authorize the transaction? All that's not shown in this, how easy this is, how convenient. All that's not shown in the video. This digital identity means that they know you when you have to establish it. But Russia's on the cutting edge of this stuff. We heard it when they shifted their taxing system as well. Putin doesn't show any of that off. And they know that your vote is, if you're sitting in a retaliatory, tyrannical regime like the United States, that kind of an idea of being identified for what you voted is pretty terrifying by the ongoing oligarch there, here, up there, wherever. And then this whole thing is done in the obscure digital environment, known here to be hacked by the government itself, by foreigners, or the ruling parties commandeering government to manufacture the outcomes, as we hear in the United States, and so much more, folks. It's just not trustable anymore. No confidence should be put in it. But here they're promoting it. This is the future that they want. Digital, technocratic, controlled. Here you have it. You don't know nothing more. You're going to have to vote. And this is what ends up coming down when you don't know this if you haven't done the study. then this would be considered where the direct democracy that's now imposed, that they sell everybody. Those bureaucrats demand that you vote, and there's no escape. That seals, again, what I look at, that seals your status as a subject or slave to get your consent to the propriety and correctness of that voting system. That when you don't, where it becomes the problem, it's a fine, jail, social discredit, public humiliation, as we've heard in China, the sesame credit system, the bills, and not following the behavior, causing your behavior to be correct. It's all of the above that comes out in these systems. But it's so easy and simply convenient, my dear listener. It's simply convenient for the ruling regime. And I want you all to remember that, in particular for your little ones, the ones that already feel it's just like a normal part of the day to use my computer to take my SAT. It's just going to be on somebody's database. It allows my life to go forward forever seen by someone. But Putin was giving us, I told you, let's look at Putin. He's the leader of a big company, big country. Has a lot of resources. Looks like he's making all the right decisions at this point. Moving this thing through, or being given the ability to, and so that's why we're seeing the parity develop in the BRICS. But looking in the world for more clues here, he keeps coming up here to look for them, which puts a finer point on the consequences of the people in the United States suffering all the time here, oblivious, even supporting their occupiers. Putin makes a discussion here a while back I thought was fascinating. And so I want to read what Putin just said about Ukraine and listen for how it applies to the United States of America at its creation. Talking about international law, so you got to kind of think through here. Familiarize yourself with this stuff. You can see it pretty clearly and quickly once you start orienting yourself to it. And the consequence of the Lincolnization of the several states and now the modernization through international foreign influence and transformation as people watch here happening right to them. But the people derelict in the duty to keep the republic itself, ignorant of its roots and purpose. I want to he's using this Ukraine as a reoccurring historic example about statehood here, he talks. A failed treaty of peace, the consequences when a prevailing power here, which is Russia, is denied that reasoning, that logical step. It's a historic action. Here it would be averted by the Treaty of Peace. If you apply this to the United States of America and His Britannic Majesty under the Treaty of Peace that was signed to stop the war here, that stopped this and ended the battle and the war, which could have gone on. And a Treaty of Peace is not really, it's a peace, but it's a negotiated peace to stop war. It doesn't mean actually that it's peace. And it's attaching obligations. The contracts will be enforced. This article, Ukraine bungled counteroffensive faces losses of statehood if it continues along this path, Putin. Now, I've mentioned this as well. It's possible. This was never really a state to begin with. It was a rump state at best, and it was a conditioned sovereignty. And the West tried to impose itself. Russia's big enough to stop it, and doubt that's what the problem is. Russia is defending itself at that point. But there's no sense in the power. They have the power there. There's no sense in the power to destroy. And we see this in history, and the king did the same thing. Doesn't seem like people may not understand this, but his Britannic Majesty could have sent all of his forces over finally and just decimated everybody in the colonies. But there's a wiser thing going on in the world and a thought. You don't want to destroy things that can actually get you ahead if you just make a final deal with them and they go ahead and capitulate. It's best to get a negotiation. And so this is what this talks about. Though he's speaking about Ukraine, you're looking at ramifications in international law, and we can compare them directly to what actually didn't happen in the United States that we can see will happen when Russia was denied. Very interesting view, I thought, to want to say here and read a little bit of it. Kiev launched a massive counteroffensive in June 2023, hoping to break through the fortified Russian positions of Zaporozhye, Kherson, and the Donbas, and reach the Crimean Peninsula. In November, Ukraine's top general admitted that there would be a deep and beautiful breakthrough, and said that the conflict had reached a stalemate. Ukraine seriously bungled its summer counteroffensive and may face losses of its statehood altogether if things continued in this direction, Russian President Vladimir Putin has said. Quote, if what is taking place right now continues, and it is now completely obvious that not only has their counteroffensive failed, but the initiative in the hands of the Russian armed forces continues, Ukraine's statehood may face an irreparable and very serious blow, Putin said at the meeting, blasting authorities in Kiev for rejecting peace talks with Russia early on in the crisis. Putin also lambasted Zelensky government's latest attempt to force Moscow to negotiating table on prohibitive terms. Quote, Zelensky's formula for peace is a set of prohibitive demands for negotiation, he said, referring to the formula which calls for a series of one-sided Russian concessions, including giving up Crimea and Donbas, reparations payable to Kiev, and war crimes tribunal targeting Russia officials and the military. The so-called peace formula that's being talked about in the West and Ukraine is continuation of a decree of the Ukrainian president banning negotiations with Russia, Putin said. As for the negotiating process, it's an attempt to encourage us to abandon the territorial gains we've achieved over the past year and a half, but this is an impossible. Everyone understands that this is impossible. I just need to, anybody that knows the history of the Revolutionary War about breaking away and independence, think about what he just said relative to maybe discussions that could have been had, that maybe were going to be had, and how the so-called founding fathers, the plenipotentiaries, didn't deny His Britannic Majesty. They didn't go that far, that Zelensky did. And see the distinction here in the time, but the similarity in the actions taken by Russia in international law and the denial which the Americans did not suffer because they had eventually agreed to a treaty of peace. And they were not the power party in that. Recalling that Russia-Ukraine peace talks held in the spring of 2022 in Belarus and Turkey in the first weeks of the special military operation, Putin emphasized that it was the Ukraine side that had refused to negotiate while Russia's side expressed willingness to reach a deal. A day later that they threw all the arrangements into the trash, and now they are saying publicly, including the head of Ukrainian negotiating group, that yes, we were able and ready, but we missed the chance because then Prime Minister of Britain, Boris Johnson, came to persuade us not to implement these agreements. Fools, are they not? They're admitting directly that if they had gone for it, everything could have been ended a long time ago, a year and a half ago, Putin said. The negotiator Putin was referring to was David Arakhamia, the Zelensky servant of the people party faction leader in Rada, who recently admitted that Johnson had personally sabotaged the Russian-Ukraine peace deal. Johnson has denied doing so. Putin suggested that the Kiev regime's decision to stop negotiations on the instructions of foreign powers is an indication that Moscow is dealing with people who are not independent. And if you go back to the papers of the founding of the country of the United States, you're going to find out that they highly regarded their diplomats, and they were making, as an agent, they were making these decisions for the people in the colonies. Very important that they were recognized and acknowledged to be doing that. Now Russia says, you're not even making your own decisions. You're not a representative of even of yourself. It's over, essentially, at that point. We have nothing to discuss. The serious insult here. Commenting on the recent spate of Ukrainian attacks against civilian areas in Russia, Putin suggested that they were meant to show that Kiev's NATO patrons that the Ukrainian military still has some ability to respond to the campaign of Russia strikes against military infrastructure. Quote, but instead of solving military tasks, they are acting in this barbaric way, striking peaceful settlements using indiscriminate weapons. Multiple launch rocket systems are simply used to hit areas. Again, they're civilian areas, Putin said. There is no military rationale for such attacks, the president emphasized. I want to point out, in international law, this starts happening. A sovereign has the right to come in and protect anyone. So there's a whole lot here that's interplayed if you kind of look through this and apply international law to what's going on. That Putin uses all the time. Like the United States Supreme Court says that they're looking at all the time. Yeah. These guys don't do that either. They're doing that all the time. And I said, take them, you gotta take these folks serious. It's not a question of belief. They're telling you what they are going to be doing. And they're powerful enough to do it. In their way. Delving into the roots of the current crisis, Putin said that, unfortunately, Ukraine, after 1991 and the collapse of the Soviet Union, became a hotbed of nationalism. Let me touch that Nazi thing again. Nationalism. National socialists. These are socialist governments. That was even offensive to the Soviet Socialist Republic. How far extreme that became. But moving back to this new report, nationalism, with these forces eventually overpowering forces in favor of continued close cooperation with Russia. It was obvious after the collapse of the Soviet Union that we would eventually come to this. Of course, I think that at the time of the collapse, its initiators probably thought that the fundamental ties between Ukraine and Russia would be stronger than opportunistic considerations of the nationalistic-minded parts of society, Putin said. But ultimately, these nationalistic elements turned out to be more aggressive and began to push through the agenda. That's how it all led to today's situation. Now, that was prehistory to 2014, but he's talking about 2014 when the West stepped in. So you start applying what he just says here, and my mind was just going to what happened in the United States, what formed it. The United States is subject to its agreements relative to His Britannic Majesty, and I can't remember the name right now exactly, but it was a Treaty of Amity and Commerce or something. There it is. That's the real connection. And this was a Treaty of Peace is used where the dominant party, which in this case is Russia, in our case, the United States would have been His Britannic Majesty, the King of England. It doesn't seem like it because you think we won the war. They just told people that. The Treaty of Peace says that the King could have brought a whole lot more to bear, but they came to terms to decide that the United States, though independent, remember I told you, like, they got the territory and you got your governance. The same thing as I think they gave to Australia. There's a connecting thing that goes on in commerce and connection that goes on in other areas of subject matters of law that are still sitting there functioning. And so reading this from Putin's discussion, it just flipped over to what the United States plenipotentiary took the opposite. They agreed to go to peace. Zelensky wasn't intelligent enough to do that. And you're watching, we may be watching what happens in that regard when you don't go and don't agree to a stronger party between a belligerent condition. Anyway, interesting stuff. Some people may not find this history or the relation too interesting. What does it have to do with us today? Well, it's the antithesis. It's the opposite of what we did as America. We were independent only in certain areas. Our entire government is a governance condition that's free. But there's underlying linkages. There's underlying obligations that continue. And I've been looking. Those don't get broken. They don't get spoken to either. As if there's a black pall over that. You're not going to, unless you go read the documents, you won't even know that it's going on. You don't understand when someone says something that's an official of the United States or someone representing the British government that they're even talking about this type of stuff. You start reading between the lines. You start reading the organizational documents of the United States and you start seeing reservations to the crown. They don't say that way. You got to look between their lines. The euphemisms that are used are impressive. And so there used to be a diplomacy. It was rather intelligent. It understood the real thing. Let's just get on with it. Let's go ahead and make our concessions, and let's get on with life. And the crown said, good. And we're going to make high-sounding words, and we're going to fortify all these with great-sounding words about how right that is. And they did. You just read the documents. It's pretty impressive to watch what they're saying there. But what's the state of lack of diplomacy of the future that we're seeing today relative to Ukraine and relative to the undue influence of foreign nations on Zelensky and his acceptance of it. And who was involved in that is Ambassador Victoria Nuland will join SIP faculty. She resigns quickly, no reason, and now within weeks she's already accepted into a university. I not think this is Columbia, yes. Ambassador Victoria Nuland, the U.S. diplomat for more than 3 decades, has served as Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs for the last 3 years and Acting Deputy Secretary of State from July 2023 to February 2024, will join SIPA Catherine and Shelby call him Davis Professor in the Practice of International Diplomacy, effective July the 1st. The Victoria Nuland has accepted a position in Columbia University School of International and Public Affairs, SIPA, as a professor in the Practice of International Diplomacy, effective July 1st, 2024. She joins Hillary Clinton, who took the profession's position at SIPA July 1st, 2023, and they will both groom the new generation of psychopathic neocon war hawks that will be placed in government position to continue destroying the world over the next decade, as a comment was made on another Telegram account. I don't remember where I found that, but this is pulling together the university system, as I pointed out in our lawsuit, is the cohort behind the scenes. We didn't sue. We didn't have to because they're an agent of the system. In equity, you don't have to. The agents, the lawyers, the cohorts are all tied into an injunction. But we didn't need to go sue everybody, just a few of the core people. This is what starts to happen. This comes out of your university system. And in the future, the diplomacy is looking as bleak as it is today. That we don't have the high-mindedness, the respect, the intellect, and negotiating power of our founding fathers. I don't think. I don't see it. I don't see it in the documents that come out. I only see that the United States government right now, the regime, the Biden regime, these people that are behind Biden are not capable. They don't intend to be capable, is most important. I think that's what Russia is explaining to us. They lie, they cheat, they steal. And so this is what they've now closed the door. And they're now going to move forward on their basis, and they're going to be powerful enough to pull it off. But we hear NATO is just incapable. They keep saber-rattling. There's some psychopaths that want to go nuclear. I can see that, but we'll see how this places. But so here we move on. We move in through this original starting of the founding father, post-founding father era here, and the consequence today of these non-diplomats, the Lincolnization, which I guess it's ironic, Russia helped the northern aggression to bring about in the Civil War. It's also kind of a fascinating look. When you look at it, I'm talking about Soviet, when I'm talking about social communism, technocracy, way back in the Civil War, Russia stepped up. They brought their navy to San Francisco and New York, I think it was, if I remember right. But we see this condition here. Now, seems a little off point, but I'm trying to bring together the Lincolnization problem. You're not separate states from the federal government. Blastrock FBI training facility. At least 16 SWAT SWAT officers were hospitalized after an incident in California. The facility, located in a remote area of Irvine, south of Los Angeles, hosts firearms training and assessment for the FBI and local law enforcement. No FBI personnel were hurt in the incident, according to agency spokesman Laura Eimiller. So the feds training local sheriff SWAT in the post-founding father era of Lincolnization after 9/11, and people think the sheriff is going to stop a wayward federal government? Really? Yeah, we've got our head spun on all incorrectly on all this. But that little story was kind of interesting to me, and I missed it already way past the hour. Get lost in what I'm trying to get through. And this is BTW RLM 568, for those of you just tuning in past the hour. And you can't go wrong when you get behind the woodshed at all. If you just continue to listen and do your study and then start to apply it. But these rules are changing, so be careful. And again, no jeopardy to you, but here, show us what we're dealing with. Since 9/11, the war of terror against you, my listener, and me. But those of us that think we're not part of it, no, everybody is underneath this. U.S. intelligence agencies are targeting gaming platforms. You can run, but you can't hide. You can't even hide playing a game. According to a new government report, the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, DHS, and other agencies are working with what is described as gaming companies to combat domestic violent extremist content. Again, post 9/11, everybody's an extremist, apparently. And the government is a nail, and everybody else is a hammer or a screw ball, I guess. The company is slam you. But companies interviewed in the Government Accountability Office report include Roblox Corporation, publisher of the mega-popular online gaming platform Roblox, that relies on user-generated content, Discord, a social media and chat platform that includes invite-only spaces, and was the site of the recent Pentagon leak, and Reddit, a social media site and subcommunities, including but not in any way limited to gaming communities. While not mentioned by name during the section, this seems to be the reference to Discord in this article, that which typically involves invite-only rooms. The report notes that DHS and other agencies have more difficulty monitoring these sites, as well as audio-only discussions. So I noticed that for us, more difficult. Okay, first of all, more difficult, interesting, good, but not impossible. Be very careful. So here, so much, as we look at so much more intangible would be an actual non-centralized web. So this is what I'm getting back to, as I said at the beginning of the broadcast. You got to look and see where the blind spots are, the toughness is. And can we look ahead and can we position ourselves in places that makes it more difficult? They really have to do a lot of work to get at us. This is what I was saying about Real Liberty Media. Not even like Discord. I mean, it's just going to be a totally different type of an idea. And the content doesn't come from a platform itself. So it's actually a non-centralized interweb, maybe, as we see this. And I've talked about this earlier, trying to work this through a bit. A lot to work out, but the latest revelations here on these stories are requiring these things be addressed much more quickly than the year it seemed was available, for instance, with the recent admission of the WordPress that we heard last week, the recent mission that they will sell user content. This is what the Discord story was about as well. But this story is a little deeper than that. They're actually moving, the government's moving into all these places. So this would require that the need to acquire the software to make this content management more private that's being developed with Real Liberty Media to protect publishers and visitors because of this, that of the revelation, as well as this one. So I just want to remind us, as we read these stories, the government's infiltrating. You think you have a right to speak, this and that. No, they've determined everyone's going to be an extremist. And that's all there is. They're a hammer, you're a nail or a screwball. And you're going to get pounded when they decide to. So again, anyone desiring to contribute for these types of software that I'm understanding is being worked through to try and pull this off to make it more non-centralized, non-platform, now please send a donation, get to the donation button on the website. Because I don't think this threat under the cover of handling this extremism that they call us is apparently the euphemism for truth. They're attacking extremism. What they're attacking is the truth, attacking objectively accurate knowledge towards what I would hope we are doing towards our peaceful coexistence. And that attack is not going away. They do not want this truth to get out. So this report goes on to inform us. So while the GAO report notes that FBI and DHS has programs meant to counter extremism on gaming platforms, it's recommended that the two agencies develop an overarching strategy to handle misinformation and extremism on platforms. So I've been exposing it here. We could see this coming and started moving to counter this, but with the ad tech surveillance, the hacking of certain website platforms are used to plant the malware through your browser and these sorts of invasions. What was talked about being things on the horizon are beyond speculation, is fully proven happening right now. And it's moving a bit faster than a bit anticipated, no different than, oh, we're not doing the digital currency. Here it is. It's like within a year and a half, within the time we blinked for COVID, right? 4 years, well within that window, they brought it in. So this is now beyond saving the network as we were trying for February. And thank you to all of you that did give us a longer time to keep this broadcast going. And others that may come and are coming slowly. But the challenge here is now getting the network beyond the reach of these totalitarian sentinel impositions that we're seeing, as we see more and more clearly now that the Matrix really is not a movie. And so if you can donate today to help, put a little note if there's a place that you want to contribute to trying to make this non-platform, non-centralization endeavor to make the freedom of choice of media a reality as Grimner intended. And we're trying to hold really clear to that. Again, I thank you very much for all that you have. This one kind of startles me a bit, how fast the third-party platforms are really giving over. Again, it's reinforcing this presumption of guilt that's upon every one of us. It's pretty disturbing at some level. So we have to really kind of think through. If you can't do something for this, maybe you can help in a financial way. There's going to be room, lots of room. Again, these dedicated issues come in. There's going to be redundancy, I hope. It's like a redundancy on the redundant internet. If I get this correct on how this all works. So these attacks are coming on us, but it's understood that an economic attack is an act of war. As I've been talking about the Ukraine, when the United States did sanctions. In other words here, war is not merely kinetic as it might be described. And again, you knows them when you seize them. If they seize you, you seize them. As another reference to this, and again, looking at Russia, because they're the dynamic party in the world right now. They're the punching bag at this point. But it's all reversed. It's all in a mirror. So we get to see quite interesting things. Given frozen Russian assets to Ukraine would break the global financial system. Now, I hadn't seen the global financial system in a term too much before I talked about it. It wasn't a thing, and I've been referencing that quite a bit. Here it is. That thing that exists is being claimed that may be broken if the West goes ahead and takes the frozen assets that are Russian and hands them to pay Ukraine through whatever device they think. Late last week, it was reported in the U.S. media that top Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives were developing a plan that would loan Ukraine money from the $300 billion in Russian assets that were frozen by the United States following the start of the special operations in Ukraine. Giving Russia seized assets to Ukraine would break the global financial system, journalist author Dan Lazara told Sputnik on the Critical Hour on Tuesday. He was also warned that it would be the equivalent of the United States declaring war. Highly consistent with everything I've been saying for months and months and months, over a year. Well, now, it's been going almost 2 years now, hasn't it? How fast time flies. It's a very dangerous step, Lazara said. It's really quite amazing that the whole system is just running downhill at a remarkably increasing speed. Seizing Russian assets will spook Saudi Arabia and it'll spook China. The whole global financial system sort of rests on a kind of lawful sense of cooperation. But if you break that, you break the whole system. This is the thing the Russian government is complaining about. The rules-based order is not international law. International law was the norms that nations used amongst themselves to be able to communicate and have a valid expectation of what was to happen between nations and to people within and amongst those nations. It's a widening of the war, and it's a declaration of war on Russia by the United States, he added later. So this journalist thinks it's a kind of, sort of, a declaration of war when you read, but Russia knows it's a declaration of war. The second one, confirming the prior through the sanctions, which I told you about. He goes on here that means abandoning very close allies, especially given that the fact that the U.S. really caused this war in the first place by backing a far-right-led military coup back in 2014, which made Russia military response more or less inevitable. I talked all about this. The military response the United States used to impose sanctions started the war here. Even the journalist describes as a widening one due to the theft of Russian assets, which Russia will respond with their own salvo and return economic fire. This is where it goes to. You already watched what happened when we put sanctions, and who's paying for that? My dear listener is going to be paying for it. All Americans will be here pretty soon. Moscow has repeatedly warned that it will respond in kind if the West goes through with the threats of confiscate assets. That should the West proceed with expropriating funds, the Russian Central Bank is likely to seize around $33 billion, interesting numbers here too, $33 billion of Euroclear money held in the National Securities Depository in Moscow. The finance minister last month said that the Western states and companies themselves will have belongings in Russia that could be jeopardized and frozen funds are trapped. So corporations are people too, remember? Same thing in America, remember? And so consider this when you see you are being economically attacked by your own government. That's the first thing that came to my mind. When it hits you economically by sanction or expropriation of your wealth, or either overtly or covertly, whether one recognizes the fact or not, on this basis alone, the United States has been at war with we, the compliant people, since it began manipulating monetary and fiscal policy to adversely affect the people, or by the instrumentality of the Fed, or confiscated the gold in the 30s, which most everyone obeyed, consenting to or withholding sound money as they did, such as was done to remove the gold standard. That was in 71. The federal government doing all these things. They're attacking us. We just sit compliant. And after which the Lincolnites here states did nothing to begin minting gold and silver coin to avoid that theft. So the states are complicit. If you think you want to turn to the states on this, remember, the federal FBI is training your local sheriff. If you understand, the federalization has got tentacles everywhere. So one of the things that which needs to be done immediately seems fairly clear in all this. And no, it's not Trump, or Biden builds back better. Certainly, it would be we can get locally to reinforce a sound money system for sure, maybe even local state banks, and without the connections to the federal government. If you're not in the debt system, there's not an obligation. It's pretty simple and pretty clear cut. What does that look like here when they implement the sanctions? What does that look like to corporation from the West, the costs? We got the story in the notice here to us. What's going to happen? The governments don't take it in the shorts. No, the companies do. Putin calls off nationalization of Danone, the Russian shares of the French food company. Local businesses had previously been placed under temporary state control. Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed a decree to remove French food giant Danone's local business from a list of assets placed under temporary state management, according to a document published on the portal of legal acts, on Wednesday. The reason for the decision has not been reported. Danone was looking to sell its operations in Russia to a local dairy company, Vamin Tartarstan. The deal was reportedly subject to the approval of Russian agricultural minister before being voted on by a special governmental subcommittee in charge of approving exits by Western companies. The transaction price represented a 56% discount to the business market value. Danone announced plans to exit the market amid rising pressure from the customers and activists. The company said it expected the exit cost to be $1 billion. $1 billion. The Danone's Russian business included 13 factories, employed 7,200 people, and generated 5% of the company's annual global sales of around $27 billion. There's a $27 billion hurricane-force blowback just to one company. That's the revenue loss to the West generally here. And one report suggested, as I was reading, was 1,400 more companies to go in this sanctions blowback. And that doesn't count the numerous others that just folded up shop and went away. So keep poking the bear, puffing smoke in the eyes of the sedated herd at home and abroad, as these people in our government don't seem to know, first thing, what they're doing. At least for us, the blowback is going to be severe. You're watching the dollars come down. $300 billion to Russia, they just took one company for $27 billion, all of its revenue for the future and the jobs that was given, and the goodwill more than anything else. It's being taken over. And what about the strategic precision U.S. economic sanctions strike on Russia? Price cap on Russia oil not working as intended, Yellen admits. These diplomats just don't even know. These officials don't even, the bureaucrats. This is the replaced sound money system, people. The price cap on one of the West's many inventions, the experiments and inventions to curb Russians' participation in the economic markets in response to Moscow's role in the Ukrainian conflict. The G7 price cap on Russian oil has not been working as well as the West intended, with Moscow's ability to create shadow services for its oil shipments. And after the rally in crude prices that brought a barrel near $100, the United States Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen told reporters. She pledged, go read that word, doesn't mean anything. She pledged anyway to find new ways to make oil price cap work, saying, "We are more than prepared to take action," without specifying what that might be. That's right. It's an invention that didn't work because you poser diplomat types may be idiots. Blinking idiots to boot. Not even enough scruples here to know taking more of the same invented action won't help. We got wall, meet moron. Moron this. Even a Rube Goldberg machine accomplishes its mission, however inane, eventually. it also doesn't start an economic war. You don't just don't do that when one or more conspirators are too stupid to win in what even an idiot could see was a loser condition from the beginning. And on that note, they also didn't have the sense enough to have listened to the guy behind the woodshed introducing spit meeting hurricane or himicane if you're needy. And the economic consequences of Biden regime's sanctions riddle in Bidenomics. Samsung, LG, SK suspend U.S. construction projects amid soaring costs. Now this is what I told you. You don't get rid of your production. Now they're buying, trying to get foreign investment back into this country to put our electronic chip manufacturing back where it should have never been sent. Back in the United States, those companies are now stopping, despite all this help from the Bidenomics, they're stopping the construction projects which would bring us the chip manufacturing that we need. The U.S. investment plans apparently pose a growing financial burden to global chip makers and any other manufacturing players making facility investments there, an official from a local chip maker said. Quote, few would have predicted that both the labor and construction costs would rise at this alarming pace. Aside from inflationary aftermath, thank you, Powell, and your inflationary rates. But we are also faced with the political risks ahead of the U.S. presidential election. So the U.S. is becoming uninvestable here under Bidenomics. And despite government inducement subsidies to boot, it's billions. It's funny how those didn't affect that the subsidies to promote the green religion, though. Now also going down in flames due to, well, reality, I suppose we could say. And here we have evidence that the Zionists here that are running these policies have been listening behind the woodshed, I think, in the news, but being the deceptive, uncreative types, they've flipped the actual need to unjustly exalt themselves. In this report, Israel wants to relocate Palestinians to humanitarian islands. Quote, we need to make sure that 1.4 million people, or at least a significant amount of the 1.4 million people, will move, Israel Defense Forces spokesman Daniel Hagari said on Wednesday in a brief press briefing, where? To humanitarian islands that we will create with the international community. No. Now, hear me clearly on this one. Those Palestinian people need to stay with and on Palestine. You genocidal Zionists need to go to a humanitarian island, a small outcropping of rock in the South China Sea, away from everyone, is what I said. And don't burn the international community any further. Just go. And don't let the door hit you. See how they do that? Deception, flipping it around. No, I'm not going to let that happen, not behind a woodshed. No way. And traveling to that far off and far away land, oldest dead galaxy discovered by astronomers defying conventional understanding. I love these stories, folks. I don't know why. They tickle me to death. Scientists have long pondered the mechanisms behind the eventual demise of galaxies with prevailing theories pointing to environmental factors such as supermassive black holes or stellar interactions. The recent discovery of the oldest dead galaxy has, however, challenged these ideas, offering new insights into cosmic evolution. Nature of reality defying man. How dare you? Certainly science today won't admit it. Don't understand reality of the cosmos and lose its expertism right here at warp speed just on this story alone. Always fascinated how much these experts just don't know. And I think it's so much more awesome for us to admit we just don't know and go find out. More earthly confusion on tap here is something I don't normally talk to about, but it's seemingly causing some trouble. Transgender broadcasters report J.K. Rowling to the police. British police have confirmed having received a complaint after the transgender broadcaster said she had reported Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling for misgendering comments on social media. Folks, these are subject matters I'm so confused about, but I'm going to read this anyway. we'll go through a little bit of a discussion. In an interview, Renze, India Willoughby, a British transgender journalist and reality TV personality, alleged that Rowling committed a hate crime by misgendering her and said that she had contacted the police about Rowling's comments on X. And was referring to a comment that Rowling had made earlier this week in response to another X user. Quote, India didn't become a woman. India is cosplaying a misogynist male fantasy of what a woman is, Rowling wrote. Calling a trans person a man, deliberately knowing that that person is a woman, and I am a woman, regardless of what J.K. Rowling says. My birth certificate says female. My passport, all my documents, and I'm all legally recognized as a woman. And for J.K. Rowling to deliberately, and that is the key word, misgender me, knowing who I am, is grossly offensive. Willoughby, who is also the former Celebrity Big Brother contestant, told independent news publisher Byline TV. Now, this stuff just creeps me out anyway, folks, but this is some of what confuses me, beyond the creep factor. And it's about the only way I can approach this problem, and I'm on the record to assert without rebuttal, is caused by some form of abuse or some response to deny an abuse when they were younger. There are some interesting statements here. If there was legal alteration of documentation to legally claim being female, isn't it then by those documents just as legally fraudulent to claim being transgender? Isn't it also fraud for someone to naturally a woman to claim to be a man who claims to be transgender? Is it official fraud to deny the first-hand witness of the baby of the informant, the natural mother, on the application for the birth certificate? And what was that witness? Did the baby have an innie or an outie? No, below the belly button. Come on, I have tender listeners here, I'm sure. Is this a male or female claiming to be transgender? I can't tell from the story. There is no reference to nature, only legal fiction. This is what I want to point here. These stories tell us something if you look between the lines a bit. Did you hear the part? My biting confusion on this subject matter, they now throw in legal fiction. We got nature sitting out there, reality going on as well. Also, in picking fights with people, isn't, as it seems here, harassing a celebrity for name recognition, the unrestrained, if not premeditated, need to say, look at me, a bit of a mental dysfunction? And as it occurs to me here, there's something deeply confused with someone who, being naturally male, says they've already seeing themselves as female, then requires a body reconstruction to be more feminized than they already identified as was accurate. If nothing else, that deeply confuses me. This is not being transphobic. I'm being viscerally creeped out on this. On the one hand, it's sad on the other. But it's also not phobic or a license to impose the question or identify with a contrary perception on any of this. I've also heard the underlying cause called gender dysphoria, euphemized as a psychiatric disorder, partially an emotional distress, that the term disorder exacerbated in the dysphoric, and so they changed it. That was the reason why they did that. Whatever the actual cause, it seems to me, the more one makes an issue of the condition, as in this case, the more affected the disorder is as a disorder. Indeed, some societies acknowledge the condition without more fanfare or strife, accepts its occurrence, and it's exalted, isn't exalted as it is here anymore, or capitalized on. It's just accepted. So the thing I said, don't force it on people, and I think most people can live and let live is what I think is the revulsion here about some of this. And that's contrary to and as currently done by opportunistic, if not ill-conceived, Western woke advertising, which sticks it in your face. On the other hand, no one walks on eggshells avoiding an emotional outburst, which is also a symptom of gender dysphoria. When society solves this and doesn't make an issue of it, doesn't make a big deal, it seems to be much more natural, if you will. Again, proving you can take emotion away from the disorder, but you can't remove being emotional from those dysphoric. What Rowling perceives as a perpetual rage in her writings, Rowling went as far as to describe Willoughby as a classic example of a male narcissist who lives in a state of perpetual rage. This would seem true, a female transgender claiming to be male identity or when choosing to identify as transgender, either naturally, in fact, would seem to be a male narcissist. Again, you got to make a promotion of it. Look at me, look at me. How is it misgendering when it's the confusing, when it's the confused one causing the confusion, straddling legal and lawful, gaming people or playing the system for effect or personal profit as an opportunist taking advantage or even without those purposes? How is this from, aside from frauds and psychological issues and political and legally recognized female, but lawfully, naturally male, how can we see a distinction here, or can we use this to see the distinction here between legal and lawful? And I think we can. I think this distinction is better framed as a fiction versus reality. And governments have been given benefit to allow you to run through in a fiction. My listeners understand what fictions are, and I've said they're neutral. They can be used for good. In this case, it sounds like it's being used as an opportunistic thing. And that's not helping the condition at all in any perspective at all. How can your opposing frames of reference be forced on someone? Well, apparently they can't, because Rowling was rejected the allegation saying that there's not a crime to hold to gender critical views. The acclaimed writer took to X to accuse Willoughby of obsessive targeting that may meet the legal threshold for harassment. She also referred to a recent court case that established that gender critical views are considered a protected philosophical belief under the British Equality Act. So here, observing a protected philosophical belief under the British Equality Act is also interesting to consider. Transgenderism can be conceived of as a contagious mind virus. The religious exemption or the protected philosophical belief from any imposed legal treatment of which is the same as for other communicable diseases such as the great COVID swindle. And the government agrees with this harassment of Rowling to keep a wedge driven in society, allowing inconsequential matters for an unstable ability, unstable people to divide society and allowing mental illness to go untreated and wreak havoc, is how I think I see this as it works its way through. And all the other stuff that you see going on in the world right now and what government wants to do to their very own people and what they will do. And besides here, government considers y'all humans a monster without inheritable blood. And monsters don't necessarily need gender. So the government can legally make up the fiction for the benefit. Otherwise, the cosmos has become a confusing place. And I think the oldest dead galaxy would agree. How about you, my listener? Hope something today opened your eyes, opened your mind, got you thinking, got you active, maybe gets you excited to do something. Go find a wrong you might make right. I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs, or nature willing. This episode is BTWRLM 568.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.